it's an end for the time being of opposition, organized opposition politics in Cambodia. That's the main effect. That was the intention, was to get rid of this party, if that's going to happen.
Cambodia's Supreme Court dissolves the country's main opposition party in a ruling likely to cement Prime Minister Hun Sen's power. It's Friday, November 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Remember, you're part of the program. Join us on any of our VOA Asia social media platforms. Also ahead, Human Rights Watch issues a scathing report on Myanmar's treatment of Rohingyas, China dispatches a top envoy to North Korea, and Russia's future at the Winter Olympics remains in doubt. That's all on today's VOA Asia. Cambodia's Supreme Court has dissolved the country's main opposition party in a ruling likely to cement autocratic Prime Minister Hun Sen's already firm grip on power. Thursday's unanimous ruling by the 9-member court also bans 118 members of the now-defunct Cambodia National Rescue Party from any political activity for the next 5 years. The court sided with a lawsuit filed by Hun Sen's ruling Cambodian People's Party, accusing the CNRP of being involved in a plot to topple the government. David Chandler is a Cambodia analyst and history professor emeritus at Australia's Monash University. He told VOA's Victor Beatty there is now no formal opposition in Cambodia.
The significance of the ruling for the future of opposition politics in Cambodia is very dire. There's no question that another party could form in time for next year's elections. There's no question that the former members of this to-be-dissolved party could take any action. They will probably not be allowed to sit in the National Assembly. I don't know how they're going to do with the seats that disappear from that were represented by this group. It's an end for the time being of opposition, organized opposition politics in Cambodia. That's the main effect. That was the intention, was to get rid of this party. That's going to happen.
What should the foreign reaction be, particularly from the United States?
It's going to be very predictable. They're going to say it's not a good idea. It's against the history of Cambodia's democracy, which is maybe 25 years old since the Paris Accords. But none of these objections will make any headway with Hun Sen. He won't pay any attention to them. He hasn't paid attention to American advice for many years in any case. I don't think there's anything supportive that's going to come from anybody except maybe the Chinese, who are going to say this just helps to increase the possibility of stability in Cambodia. That would be their word. No one else is going to praise this move. But again, as usual, nobody's going to pay much attention. In fact, the reactions will be predictable, but there's no way that they can change the situation.
Is there any effective opposition in Cambodia today?
Not organized. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people opposed to the government and certainly opposed to this legislation, but they have no organizations through which to work. They have no money to finance those work, and it would take an awful lot of courage for them to start moving in opposition to the government. Now, that said, whether the result of this will be any mass reactions in Phnom Penh, I can't predict. If they get out of hand, they'll be treated very severely. If there are any strikes to take place, they'll be put down quite quickly. But that would be in the next few days, I would think, not in the longer term. There's nothing to sustain. There's no, as it were, oxygen to sustain an opposition movement in the longer term right now.
David Chandler, a Cambodia analyst and history professor emeritus at Australia's Monash University. Hun Sen has been prime minister since 1985. He and his ruling government were nearly defeated in the last national election in 2013. Support is growing for the opposition, especially among younger Cambodians eager for change. We invite you to read more about our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. A suicide blast hits the Afghan political gathering in Kabul. Russia's failing WADA compliance risks Korea Olympics ban. Citing fatigue, the Dalai Lama appoints personal emissaries. 3 people arrested after Australian police seize a huge stash of cocaine. And Japan rescues North Korean fishermen and returns them home. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is calling for an independent investigation into what he termed credible reports of atrocities committed by Myanmar's security forces against Rohingya Muslims. Tillerson's statement on his first visit to Myanmar came just before Human Rights Watch issued a 37-page report from the region that alleges Myanmar's security forces committed widespread rape against women and girls as part of a campaign of ethnic cleansing against Rohingya Muslims in Rakhine State. VOA diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has the story from the State Department.
Human Rights Watch found that security forces are using sexual violence to terrify individual Rohingya women and girls and whole communities.
The vast majority of the women and girls that I spoke to were gang raped, sometimes by as many as 9 or 10 perpetrators. And in all of the cases that I documented, there were many soldiers involved.
The Human Rights Watch video features several Rohingya women sharing their stories.
I have a younger sister. We tried to flee, but some soldiers caught us. They took us behind my house and raped us. I felt like I was dead. Then I lost consciousness.
The report came just after Secretary of State Rex Tillerson paid his first visit to Myanmar. While he did not use the term ethnic cleansing, Tillerson did express U.S. concerns about serious human rights violations against ethnic minorities. Tillerson said he does not think economic sanctions against the entire country are advisable, but will look carefully at legislation being considered by the U.S. Congress. If passed, the U.S. would end military training and regional exercises with Myanmar and reimpose a ban on its lucrative gem trade, a ban lifted last year by then U.S. President Barack Obama. Cindy Sain, VOA News, the State Department.
Happening now in Asia, U.S. and Japanese naval forces have begun their annual bilateral training exercise, seen as a show of force amid North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile tests. More than 14,000 U.S. personnel are participating in 10 days of drills. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on this Friday. One of the key issues President Trump addressed in his recent trip to Asia was ending North Korea's nuclear program. China on Thursday reaffirmed its proposed freeze on North Korea's missile and nuclear programs in exchange for a freeze on joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises or dual suspension. Beijing announced it is dispatching Song Tao, the highest-ranking diplomat to visit North Korea in 2 years, to Pyongyang. Song is the head of the Communist Party's External Affairs Department. China's foreign ministry said that Song would exchange views on issues of mutual concern with leader Kim Jong-un. Robert Manning is an international security senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. He says while he doesn't believe in coincidences, such a visit may be nothing more than protocol following China's Communist Party Congress last month.
Kim sent a message of congratulations to Xi during the party congress. So this is a somewhat traditional party-to-party exchange. However, I think there's probably more to it. We just don't know quite what it is. I was struck by how comfortable President Trump seemed to be with Xi in regard to North Korea. We don't know what was agreed to, but I suspect there was some interesting discussion.
President Donald Trump has said that he believes China could fix the North Korea problem easily and quickly. But Robert Manning says that the president's statements and his hopes could be premature.
Well, I think it's a mistake to think that somehow China can deliver North Korea. I think that they've been moving in our direction for a while. There's been this debate for the last couple of years in China about whether they think North Korea is a liability or an asset. And I think it's increasingly been tilting towards the liability side of the debate. The fact that we've gotten these two unprecedented UN Security Council resolutions that China claims it's cutting off an awful lot of business with North Korea, I think it is evidence of that. they can put more pressure, but they can't really deliver North Korea, as Trump seems to think. I think we have to let this is going to play out over the next 4, 6, 8, 12 months as the sanctions start to bite. The question will be the degree to which China exercises seriousness in implementing the sanctions will, I think, determine the amount of pain inflicted on North Korea and the possibility that they may change their strategic calculus and decide maybe they do want to talk about denuclearization.
Earlier this week, President Donald Trump said that China's president, Xi Jinping, had pledged to fully implement UN Security Council resolutions and use its economic influence to help denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. But Robert Manning counsels that sanctions will take time and the White House should be patient.
I don't know if I would go as far as fully, but I think they're certainly doing more to implement these sanctions than they've ever done in the past. And this is going to take some time to have this pressure be felt internally in North Korea. I think there are already some signs that it's already having an impact, but I think we have to have a little bit of patience here. I would note that really in the last several weeks, there have been a lot less bellicose rhetoric coming out of the White House on North Korea.
Robert Manning is an international security senior fellow at the Atlantic Council. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Police in Bangalore, India, have arrested 4 men for gang raping a 17-year-old girl. Police say the girl was allegedly held in a hotel room and repeatedly raped over a 10-day period. The manager of the hotel is one of those accused in taking part in the attack. Visit VOA Asia's Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. The Winter Olympics start in February in Pyeongchang, South Korea. But Russia's hopes of being there are a little bit doubtful. The World Anti-Doping Agency refused to reinstate the country's suspended anti-doping operation on Thursday. At its meeting in South Korea, WADA President Sir Craig Reedy said that Russia's anti-doping agency had not met 2 key requirements for reinstatement.
Technically, they have improved hugely since their compliance was removed in November 2015. But having set a roadmap for compliance, there are 2 issues which haven't been fulfilled. So we simply can't walk away from the commitments we have in our roadmap. So that's where we are.
WADA said that the newly restructured Russian anti-doping agency, RUSADA, had made improvements, but they were not enough to lift a suspension which began 2 years ago. Reedy said that WADA had no rights to prohibit Russia from participating in the Winter Olympic Games, and that the agency would continue monitoring for the decision of the International Olympic Committee.
I'm quite certain that the IOC would prefer that RUSADA was declared compliant by the World Anti-Doping Agency. There are, as I said, 2.5 weeks before the IOC have indicated that they want to take a decision. I've indicated that we are likely to be speaking to the investigative commission. So possible for things to change.
Meanwhile, the head of Russia's anti-doping agency, RUSADA, Yuri Ganus, says that his agency had conformed to WADA standards and was now completely independent. But he said on the TASS news agency that the key remaining demands were outside his authority.
We should be very pragmatic about that. We want us to give you any assessments. Well, we have a roadmap, we have 3 provisions which were not complied with. In that context, well, technically, we've been complying with all we can, all the tasks which could be embraced by an anti-doping agency have been embraced by us. So we are limited in terms of the functionality from the part of the international organization, because no, we could be more active, but not everyone is willing to cooperate actively with us. So just to reiterate this, the decision which will be made whether to, well, to give the access or not give the access will be made by the Paralympic and Olympic committees. It's their mandate, it's up to them, and we will respect their decision.
The WADA decision could influence the IOC, which does have the final say on Russia's status for next February's Games. The IOC meets next month to discuss investigations into individual Russian doping cases from the Sochi Olympics and into the allegations of state-sponsored manipulation of the anti-doping program. This news alert from VOA Asia. Approximately 3,000 additional American troops have now deployed to Afghanistan under President Trump's revised strategy for the country. The Pentagon had previously put the number of U.S. forces in Afghanistan at about 11,000, but Trump authorized an increase requested by the commander on the ground, General John Nicholson. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia. This is VOA Asia. Some of the hottest new designs for aircraft, from a small two-seater to a diamond-encrusted jet, were on display this month at the Dubai Air Show. As VOA's George Putich tells us, aircraft manufacturers say that business is booming as more and more wealthy people try to avoid crowded commercial flights.
Like most air shows, this one featured a range of military and commercial aircraft, from transport planes with strange-looking propellers and advanced helicopters to futuristic personal jetpacks. But most of the aircraft, such as this Bombardier Global 6000, were especially adapted for wealthy private buyers.
It's obviously the royal families that use it for their travels. And then you have the families that they have, the wealthy families that they like to travel with their family together and their trips and holidays, and obviously for the businesses.
Those with even larger bank accounts may want some additional glitter, provided by diamonds mixed in the exterior paint.
They're not like a normal metallic paint. They give a multi-chromatic and multicolored reflection. So I think it's someone who obviously has money, but someone who is looking to stand out.
Honda exhibited its first commercial aircraft with an innovative over-the-wing engine placement that lowers fuel consumption. It could be yours for a mere $4.9 million.
With the Honda Jet being a clean sheet design, the absolute best without compromise was put into this one singular aircraft.
There were also models of planes that are not flying yet, but may do so in near future, such as the new supersonic airliner called Boom. Its designers hope that new technologies will help them overcome the obstacles that doomed the first and only supersonic passenger plane, the Concorde.
50 years later, we've got new technology like carbon fiber composites and turbofan engines, which allow you to do supersonic for 75% less than Concorde took.
For those who hate the fact that the window seat gives you the view from only one side of the airplane, Emirates Airline offers a first-class suite with a virtual window that also projects the view from the opposite side.
We will be able to change at the customer's call whether he wants to look left or look right.
Emirates Boeing 777 with new cabins will enter service as soon as December 1st. George Putich, VOA News.
And if you want to see that diamond-encrusted paint job, you can log on to our website, voanews.com. Now, the holidays are coming up in just about a month, and maybe a diamond-encrusted airplane is out of your budget, but you might consider a rocking chair used by former President John F. Kennedy, or maybe stunt performer Evel Knievel's motorcycle jacket. Maybe you'd prefer a necklace worn by Vivian Leigh in Gone with the Wind, a glove made for Apollo astronaut Neil Armstrong, or even a Nobel Prize for Chemistry. Where can you get all that stuff? Well, it's all going to be on the auction block when Julian's Auctions holds its annual Hollywood Icons and Idols auction later today and Saturday. Martin Nolan is Julian's executive director.
This is such a diverse auction. It's truly fantastic. We have Eva Knievel's jacket. We have motorcycles. We have a rocking chair. We have awards. We have a glove that was made for Neil Armstrong for Apollo 11. We have an Academy Award. We have a Nobel Prize for chemistry. It's truly an amazing auction.
Several dresses and memorabilia of the late Judy Garland make up a big chunk of the auction, including dresses worn by her in A Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis. You can also buy the dress that Garland wore when she sang Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. On Saturday, Julian's auction is all about the jewels of Joseph of Hollywood, one of the earliest high-profile jewelers to the studios. Martin Nolan said Joseph had a special recipe that helped his stunning pieces stand out in classic Hollywood movies.
And Joseph of Hollywood, who made all this amazing jewelry, he had like a secret resin recipe, he called it, that he used at the backing of the stones when he set the stones into the jewelry pieces that allowed the stones to absorb the light rather than bounce back or reflect back at the cameras. And so it made the jewelry really pop on screen.
Among the pieces to be auctioned off will be jewels worn by Elizabeth Taylor in the movie Cleopatra and Vivian Leigh in the classic Gone with the Wind. If you'd like more information or maybe you'd like to do some early Christmas shopping, you can log on to juliansauctions.com. The jewels of Joseph may be pretty, but the naked mole rat is one of the ugliest creatures you'll ever come across. It is unique. Most people find it rather repellent, though. These rodents live most of their life underground, and they are nearly blind. But, as Kevin Enochs tells us, what makes them really attractive to scientists is they are cancer-free.
This exhibit in London is an attempt by evolutionary biologist Chris Fox to get some recognition for these little rodents. Naked mole rats are not much to look at, but they are unique in the scientific world because they live unusually long lifespans for rodents, well into their 30s. But the related and more important thing about them is that they are resistant to all kinds of cancer.
Their adaptations have had a lot of knock-on effects in terms of giving them resistance to cancer. Their blood vessels and heart stay healthy into very, very old age. And so there's a whole long list of features that you would normally observe, say, in an aging human that you just don't see in naked mole rats.
Researchers have also discovered something they call a super sugar, called high molecular mass hyaluronan, that these rats have in abundance. The sugar keeps cells from crowding together and forming tumors.
Some of the mechanisms that we can uncover using cell culture, investigating the biochemistry and physiology, we can, you know, reveal new mechanisms, for example, which can help prevent tumors forming.
Scientists are working on ways to increase the human body's ability to produce these super sugars as a way to prevent cancer and possibly extend the human lifespan. Kevin Enochs, VOA News.
If you would like to see video of this story, you can visit our website, voanews.com. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can get our program on iTunes and on SoundCloud. You can also download our podcast and take VOA Asia with you. And you can find us at voanews.com. Be sure to let us hear from you, VOA Asia Facebook, and our email is voaasia@voanews.com. Want to give a couple of shout-outs to Falcon Radio, Adamson University in the Philippines, Chiang Mai University Radio FM 100 in Thailand, and Myanmar Facebook VOA Burmese. Thanks also to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Keith Holmes. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy the rest of your day.